Hello, friends. Welcome back to James as we close out the book in chapter 5 today. James finishes out his call to grow up in faith and to live out your faith with three essential marks of a mature walk with God: patience, perseverance, and prayer. But first, James gets very real with a very specific group of people in the church. Verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Wow, sounds like James is not a fan of rich people. But he's not talking to all rich people. He will clarify in a moment that he's talking to rich people who hoard their wealth, don't pay fair wages, and indulge themselves. Sadly, that can apply to a lot of rich people throughout history, and today too. So to whatever extent it applies to you, do not take this lightly. James is deadly serious, so let God convict you, and weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Now that may sound heavy-handed, but consider the oppression and misery that has been doled out by the greedy of this world for so many centuries. And you have a choice. You can respond like Zechariah the tax collector, or you can miss it and lament from Hades like the rich man who ignored Lazarus. In verse 2, your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Now there's a picture. If you have money, picture this. Imagine someone tells you, I just checked on all your wealth, and it's rotting, like literally going bad. And the stuff that can't rot is moth-infested. I know, you think your wealth is all safe, banks, property, diversified investments, but don't miss the point. James uses a physical picture to help you see the eternal reality. The way that fruit rots and garments get eaten is a lesson. Take it to heart. Everything you own is temporary. In verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Now James gets to the heart. All that rotting and corrosion will testify against you. It testifies in the sense that it makes a statement. It testifies to you about the temporary nature of wealth, and it will testify against you on Judgment Day. It will say that you knew better, but you failed to act. Back in verse 3, you have hoarded wealth in the last days. That's a reference to Jesus' parable. Remember the man who built great barns to hoard grain, but shared none. Suddenly, his life was done, and what good were the barns? Wasted for him, wasted for the world. The Bible calls us to always live with an awareness that our days are limited. In verse 4, look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Paying workers a right and fair wage is a big deal in the Bible, Old and New Testament. James pictures the wages you failed to pay as cash in your account that cries against you. There's sort of a biblical version of karma here, only our judgment comes directly from the Lord Almighty. He hears the cries of every person we've cheated or wronged. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. Now there's a picture. We are the animal fattened for slaughter. James is clearly uninterested in our champagne problems. Now if you're wealthy but innocent of these things, this isn't for you. But if you're fooling yourself, take heed. God is judge, not you. And James switches focus to speak to all of us in verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Patience is a virtue. Patience for others is an expression of love. Patience through trials is an expression of faith. It's what I call faith of a farmer. A farmer knows that crops take time. Be patient. Rain will come, and so will fruit. Verse 8, you too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I love how James encourages us to wait through the long haul with the knowledge that Jesus' return is any moment. A proper awareness of both life's longness and shortness is key. and it should affect how you respond when others frustrate you. Verse 9. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. I picture this like two young siblings in the playroom arguing. When your brother frustrates you, look at the door. Dad is standing right outside. He's listening. So don't grumble. Remember, you need to calm down, shake it off, and show the same mercy your dad so often shows you. Now, patience is way tougher in real life. So James gives us real life examples. Verse 10. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Look to your faith heroes. We tell their stories and call them blessed because they are. I love that James brings up Job, because Job did not respond perfectly. He lamented and mourned and questioned God up and down because his life was hard. He didn't get it perfect, but he persevered in faith. He didn't understand God, but he adamantly refused to stop trusting God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Why trust? James reminds us that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. In verse 12, James reminds us not to swear. Now, swearing is not the same as cussing. Swearing is giving a promise that you place on something higher than yourself, like, I swear to God. James says, all you need to say is a simple yes or no. Just keep your word and you won't need to swear. And James closes out his letter right where he started, going through trials. And I think he recognizes that voice among us that's still saying, but what should I do? Verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Now, I like this. It doesn't all have to be trials. We get happy times too. But both are a reason to talk to God. In trouble? Pray. Happy? Sing praise. And in verse 14, if you're sick, pray together. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, I love that verse, but I freely admit that I struggle with exactly how to interpret verses like this that promise healing. I totally believe in healing, but it doesn't always happen for me the way I want it. Yet, I still trust the admonition, pray, and I trust that God hears and answers. So, ask elders to pray. Do the same when someone sins. Get prayer and accept forgiveness. Verse 16 is crucial. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That just might be the most neglected admonition in the Bible. Confess sins to each other. Now, Catholics confess to a priest, while Orthodox confess to God in the presence of a priest. And Protestants generally believe confession can be made to any brother or sister. But let's face it, Protestants, most of us don't ever get around to real confession to anyone. And that's a mistake. Whatever theology and practice you attach to it, James says, confess to each other and pray for each other, so you'll be healed. I think that healing is primarily talking about healing from sin, but also relates to physical healing. Regardless, confession and prayer are crucial. Back in 16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James says, if Elijah can pray and stop the rain, why not you? He's human, you're human, and that applies to me! Exclamation point. I need to pray more. Church history tells us that James was known as Old Camel Knees because he was on his knees praying so often. And one last admonition to close it all out. Verse 19. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now there's a beautiful way to close. Turn a sinner from their way. Don't judge them. Bring them the same mercy you received. Don't just believe it. Act. Don't just hear the word. Do it. Read James 5. And thanks for joining me in the book of James. Can't hardly wait for the next one.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
So, it's been brought to my attention by some of our younger listeners that all of my song title references that I like to hide in my audio guides are old. So, this one is for the Swifties, with a special shout out to my cousins. A couple hints for your Taylor Swift song search. They're in chapters 3, 4, and 5, and good luck finding all 22. Oh, wait. No, that makes 23. Anywho, have fun. Captain Phillips Taylor Swift mashup. Look at me. Look at me. I am the problem now.